Shavuot Tov World. Today's daf in Masechet Sanhedrin, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Nun Gimel, and we've got an exciting evening ahead of us as we begin this new Mishnah, Mitzvat HaNechanokim, on daf Mem and Nun Beis Omud Beis, where we left off on Friday. Mitzvat HaNechanokim. So we've done so far the mitzvahs on his kolim, which we did in the previous parak. We did the mitzvahs on his rafim, which we did first thing that we got into in this parak after we went through all of the arba mises, and we went through the sayif, the neharagim. Now, according to the rabbonim at least, we get to the most kal, which is the mitzvah anechanakim. So here too, it starts off exactly the same way that the Nisrafim starts off. Mishakinoto bazevel adar kuvotav. So he's put into really manure to be unable to move and to also put him in his place. Minotein sudar kashel etoch haraka. Same thing that we did in order to force his mouth open when it came to the Nisrafim. But here we do the same thing, except that we keep pulling. Zemo shechetzlo vezemo shechetzlo. Ad shenafsho yotzeit, until he actually strangles. Tana Rabbana. So, we know this is now the beginning of a long and involved drasha on how to understand all of the various arayas in terms of the different types of psukim that discuss them. And remember, we have two different parshas of arayas. So we have Achrimot and we have Kiddushim. The order is completely different. And in Kiddushim, generally speaking, we talk about the Onesh for the Erva. And in Achrimot, generally speaking, we talk about the Azhar for the Erva. And in order to be able to be Mekayim a Onesh, we have to first have an Azhar. So this follows the classical structure. First the Azhar, and then the Onesh. So it says, when it comes to the Eishas Ishalocha, the Ish asher yin'af et Eishet Ish, asher yin'af et Eishet Reyehu, mot yumata no'efa no'afet. So where it's coming to talk about the Onesh in Kedoshim, so over there, it gives us, this was the general posik, remember, that we had, that Rabbi Shmuel was Derish, that we should see all of the departures from the general din in the same way. That's where he got his mamatzino, that we should look at the Bat Kohen as a departure from the norm in the same way that we look at the Yisrael, who is Anara Hamuras, as a departure, and therefore they're the same by mamatzino standards, not requiring the Gezerah Shava. Remember, that was Rabbi Shmuel. So let's be medayik in that process. A ish. Now when it says an ish, it means not a katan. Now, even though a katan is normally not chayav in anything, so we'll see that there's elements over here of ish prata katan that has to do with, according to some, with a katan meaning below the age of 9 years old, and that would mean that an ish prata katan would not be b'chayav either, because under the age of 9, we don't consider a male capable of intercourse. Asher yin af et eshet ish, pratla eshet kata. Oh, I'm sorry, I stopped in the middle. The other reason, which is the way that we end up, we'll see, understanding the pasuk fully, is that you might have thought that in a case where a woman becomes asura because she slept with someone, that over there, in the same way that we find that if an animal has sex with a woman, that the animal is killed, even though you would think, and then the same thing is true if an animal is actually a passive partner in a sexual relationship with a man, the animal is killed. Now, you'd think that, okay, I mean, the animal, it's not the animal's fault if it was raped. But because someone was nichshal through this animal, because of that, there is a separate din, that there's a getting rid of both partners because of the fact that someone else was nichshal. So therefore, I might have thought that that was the idea of a katan as well in this case, and that in the same way that the animal doesn't have das, the katan doesn't have das, but nonetheless, we get rid of both partners. Kamash malan, that it has to be davka, ish asher yinaf, et eshet ish. And when it says eshet ish, it means the wife of an ish, not the wife of a katan, which means that there is no kiddushin whatsoever for a katan, and he's not considered to have a wife, and therefore she's not considered to be married. So if she sleeps with someone else, she is simply a pnuya. And when it says, et eshet re'ehu, et eshet ish, et eshet re'ehu means prat le eshet acherim. So if you're talking about others, meaning a non-Jew, that's not considered to be adultery, because there's no din of real marriage for a non-Jew. They have no concept of kiddushin. Then it says, mot yumat, that means, as we saw before, bechenek. Now the question is, how do you know that mot yumat means bechenek? It might be anything. It just says mot yumat, and we have arba mitot betin. So why would we think that it's bechenek? Well, consider. If the Torah mentions a mita stam, so kol makom shenema mita betorah stam, what are you supposed to say about it? If you have arba mitot bedin, you certainly can't say, well, let's make it skila, can we? Because, why would we have the right to give the most chomor misa when we could easily give a less chomor misa? So if the Torah doesn't say you beferish, why would you go to skila? Well, in the same way you won't go to skila, you won't go to sreifa, because it's more chomor. Same way you won't go to Sreifa, you won't go to Saif, because it's more chomer than chenek. And therefore, by definition, if the Torah wants to tell you that something is chenek, it doesn't have to say anything, because you will have no choice but to utilize the most kal of the mitot, right? So therefore, you can come to the obvious conclusion that if the Torah doesn't tell you what misa it's referring to, it must be referring to chenek, and why bother saying it? So, inata rashay lo moshkalach miraleha, anyway, you wouldn't be able to be more machmir. You'd have to go lakula because you have no right to say more than the maximum you could say is the minimum that you can get away with. And therefore, tafasta meruba lo tafasta. That's how Rabbi Yoshia understands the whole issue. And this is because, as we're going to see, that Aliba de Rabbi Yoshia, it's a given that there are arba mitot beitin, and he understands that to be halakha l'meshe mi-Sinai. And being as there are four, and this is the one case where no definition is given, it must mean the most kal. Therefore, I don't need more than that. But Rabbi Yonatan disagrees, because as we'll see, Rabbi Yonatan holds like Rabbi Shimon. And according to Rabbi Shimon, the most kal is actually Sayif. And therefore, don't tell me, lo mipnei shi kala. The point is not that there's no choice, because after all, this is the most kal. And what right would you have to make it more chomer? Because he doesn't believe this is the most kal. So according to Rabbi Yoshia, it's because we have a din that kol mita ha'amura b'torah stam, Eina ela chenek. It's not because we don't have any choice. It's because we have a Kabbalah to that extent, that a non-defined misa is by definition chenek, which we'll look into later. What's the basis of this? Rebbe explains it. Rebbe Omer, I'll tell you why he says that. It's not that it's a klal, like halakha l'meshe mi-Sinai. It follows from understanding the pasuk, because we have a pasuk that speaks about misa bidei shamayim. So we have in the story of Erva Onan. So it says over there, Vayamet gam oto. HaKadosh Baruch Hu caused also Onan to die. And there, what is that type of misa? Well, I don't know. You look at the dead body of Onan, you have no idea that there was something that specifically hurt him. You just see that he's dead. Well, we say the same thing about a stam misa bidei adam, such as over here, mos yumas the no'efen the no'efet. So just like the mitah ha'murabi de shamayim is a death that doesn't make an impact externally, you don't know why this body is no longer living, af mitah ha'murabi de adam, mitah she'in baroshem. So the only misa that we could be referring to over here is a death that leaves no mark on the outside of the body, which means chenek. Wait a minute. I thought you said the whole point of Sreifa, we said before, is that it leaves no mark on the body. I mean, that wasn't that the whole point, that you were learning it out of the Mises B'dei Aaron or out of the Nisrafim of Kerach, and that left no roshim on the outside of their bodies? How did you end up here with Chenek? Maybe it means with Sreifa. Well, it can't mean with Sreifa, silly, because if we have a general set of Mot Yumata Noefa Noafet, that's the case of Eshet Ish, since the Torah specifies that Bat Kohen Ki Techel Iznot is Be'eshti Sareif, so then that means the Yotzei Min HaKlal is Be'eshti Sareif, but the Klal of Mot Yumata Noefa Noafet is not Be'eshti Sareif. So what's left? If it's not Sreifa, the only other death in Besdin that leaves no mark would be not Sreifa, but rather Chenek. Okay, so now I understand Rabbi Yonatan. Rabbi Yonatan says, look, it's obvious that there's got to be this Chenek, as Rabbi has explained, because that is going to be similar to a what appears to be a natural death, Bidei Shamayim. According to Rabbi Yoshia, I don't understand. You're saying, well, we have no choice. That's got to be the most kal. Well, how do you know that there are arba misais? I mean, if it doesn't say chenek anywhere, and it doesn't, there's not one place where it says anything about chenek, so then what makes you think there exists this concept of chenek? Maybe there's only three misais of Beis Din, and the most kal would therefore be sayif. And if it says mot yumtu, so then it would mean that you have to give them sayif, right? I mean, it's just as logical. Like, at first you take for granted that according to Rabbi Yoshia, there exists a concept called chenek, and then you're saying, well, what else could it be but chenek? Maybe there is no chenek. So according to Rabbi Yoshia, mimai de'ika chenek be'olam? What makes you think there is such a thing as chenek? According to Rebbe, I understand why there had to be chenek, because there's nothing else similar to a natural death. Maybe it means sayif, according to Rabbi Yoshia. Omar Rava, no. Rabbi Yoshia had a Kabbalah of Arba Mitot. That's Gemara Gemirele. And he was aware of the fact that there were these, according to him, he had a Kabbalah from his Rebbe, that Arba Mitot Nimsu LeBeisdin in the order that they are given in our Mishnah. So according to him, the Kal was Chenek, and Chenek was a given, and therefore you have no choice but to go to the Kal. That's what he was saying, which is exactly why Rabbi Yonatan disagreed with him and said, well, it isn't the Kal, but I don't have that Kabbalah. When he says that word, well, it's not because it's kal. Well, what did he mean? What's that point? No, that point is the machlokas of Rabbi Shimon v'Rabbanan. If we're accepting that it's a given, either because I learned it out from the Misa of Einon, or because I have a Kabbalah that Arba Misas Nimsu LeBeisdin, but the question is which one is more chomer, which one is more kal? That's the question. That was the machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and the Rabbanan. And Rabbi Yonatan was saying, stop trying to pass your political views on us by saying that this is the Kal. I disagree with it. It's not because it's the Kal. He yells like Rabbi Shimon that it's not the Kal. Okay, so we're going to have a whole Mishnah that talks about all of the dinim of Skila. So there are some places where the Torah actually says, Beferesh, Be'even, Yirgimuotam, yes. But there's many cases where the Torah does not say Beferesh what it is that the Misa is, and yet we seem to have made up our minds that we're understanding all of those things as being a Chiev of Skila. So I'm not quite certain what is the Mokar of all of those cases. Because, look, it's true that when it comes to Avodah Zorah, and when it comes to Chilul Shabbos, when it comes to Oven Yedoni, and when it comes to Nara Hamurasa, those four cases, it actually says, Beferish in the Torah, that they are Chayev in Skila, Be'evan Yirgimuotam. But with the other cases, it doesn't say that. It just says, to die, without defining how it is that they would die. So as we're going to see, we learn out all of the chiyuve of skila from Oven Yedoni, or the cases where it says mot yum tu de mehem bum. So it's just two different things, that they are to die and their blood is on them. So, okay, so we understand that since it defines over there be'evan yergimutam, together with mot yum tu de mehem bum, that we now have a gezeirah shava. But what I'd like to know is, tell me precisely which words the gezeirah shava is from, because that was never explained. We were told that we learned it out from Ov and Yedoni, but I'm not quite certain what was the word from Ov and Yedoni. So this is what the question that Rabbi Zera is asking is. When it says that we learn it out from Ov and Yedoni, how do we know it? We know it because Gamre mi Ov and Yedoni, as we'll see. But I'd like to know, B'mai Gamre, which particular word in the Pasuk is the word that is critical for the Gezeirah Shava. So the Lashon of the Pasuk is, V'isho isha ki yevehem ovo yidoni mot yumatu. Okay, that's one. Ba'evan yirgumu otam. Now that's the missing thing in the other cases. Here it spells out that it should be through skila. And then it adds, demehem bum. Now the other cases, are they learned from the words demehem bum? They all do say demehem bum. Or are they learned from the word mot yumatu? They all say yumot yumatu. So, but they don't say be'evan yirgamu. So now I'd like to know which one it is. Now we're going to see why it's important to Rabbi Zera to understand which one it is, because it turns out to make a very big difference. So are they learning it out from mot yumatu gamre, or are they learning it out from de mehem bum gamre? So Abaya said to him, clearly they learn it from de mehem bum to de mehem bum. De mehem bum, de mehem bum. It's just left out the word bum because we're using the word bum for both. So it's de mehem bum. That's the basis, not the mot yum tu. Because if it were from mot yum tu, then there would be no meaning in the words de mehem in each of these cases. I understand. So if you're telling me we learn it from de mehem, so then I can ask you the same thing. So why did it have to repeat mot yum tu? Ah, because mot yum tu, it's known what the meaning of mot yumat is. Let's say binogea, the case of a rotseach. So over there it says, mot yumat hamake rotseachu. And you'll recall what we learned from that. Mot yumat hamake rotseachu teaches us that in the event that the guy is escaping, and there's no way for me to kill him by killing him the way the Bezdin is supposed to be killing him through Saif, how do I know that I can shoot him? So that was, minayin she'im yatayo chola hamito b'mita ktuvabo, sh'ata memito b'komita sh'ayatayo chola hamito. So let's say the guy is on a plane and he's going down the runway and he's trying to get away, you could still shoot the plane down and you can kill him. And that comes from the repetitive Talmud Lomar, mot yuma tamake, and that teaches us mikol makom. So therefore, if this is true, then the mot yumat would apply to anyone who is chayev, one of the mitot beit din. We discussed this before, the Rishonim, that this is the way the Rambam understands it, that anyone who is chayev, any of the arba mitot, is able to be shot. Omele revachim in divtei l'ravina. I don't understand, like, why is it really so important? Ve'im mot yum tu gamres. Mike Akashua, was something bothering him? What was the problem that Rabbi Zera needed to set to rest in his mind when he asked Abaye? There was obviously something troubling him. And Abaye, in giving him the solution that it's clearly de mehem bum, set that problem to rest. What was the problem? And if Abaye would have told him otherwise, mot yum tu, why would he have been so disturbed? I was thinking, said Rabach, I was thinking to myself that maybe what was disturbing him was Eshet Ish, right? Because if Eshet Ish, which we say, Eshet Ish, we just learned, is Chayev a very kal misa. So he's Chayev Chenek. And maybe that's what's bothering him. Since it says Mot Yumat by the Roitzeach Hano Efa Hano Afed, Samotium too. Why don't we learn it from Ovin Yedoni? Maybe that's what's bothering him. Why should we say that the Eshet Ish is a chi of adultery, is a chi of Oni of Chenek? Let's learn it out from Ovin Yedoni, because it says Motium too, and therefore Malahalan Beskila, just like Ovin Yedoni uses that same word. So then if there it's Beskila, Afkan Beskila. But that cannot be what bothered Rabbi Zera. You know why? Because we know that Eshet Ish cannot be Beskila. If the Torah writes a whole different parsha for a Nara HaMu'urasa, a Yisraelite, who is Beskila, so isn't it rather obvious that that's a departure from the norm, and the normal set of adultery is not Skila? Well, the only thing that was left was the Chenek, right? So that can't be what bothered him. Okay, so then I realized that myself, says Rav Acha. So I was thinking, you know what, maybe Rabbi Zera was bothered by why we say that a makeh aviv v'imo is chayav chenek, for the same reason that we said that the adultery is chayav chenek. Why don't we learn it out from Oven Yedoni? But that can't be the problem, because now there's no real solution to my issue. Because look, instead of learning from Oven Yedoni, we would now know it's a given to us that Eshet Ish is not Beskila, right? Despite the fact that it says Mot Yom Tov. Okay, so then why would I take the case of Makeh Aviv V'Imo and learn it from Oven Yedoni, which is a Chumrah of Skila, if I also have an option to learn it out from the case of Eshet Ish, which uses the same language and which is clearly not Skila? And remember, we have a general klal. If we're able to learn out a lesser Misa, we have no right to learn out the more chomer Misa. So there's no real answer to this, because any time that you'll bring me this question, let's learn it out from Oven Yedoni, I can always say, why would we learn it out from Oven Yedoni if we can learn it out from Eshet Ish? You cannot arbitrarily decide, I want to use the pasuk that's more chomer, if you have an option to use a pasuk that's kal. So what am I missing? Rabbi Zera was asking a question that is irrelevant. Omar Lay, of course it's very relevant. Look, all of the other niskalim, if they were learned from Mot Yom Tov, or Mot Yumat, this is exactly what was bothering him. Since it's a given that the Mot Yumat by a no'ef and no'af, by Eshet Ish, does not mean Skila because of the fact that there's a departure from the rule for the Bas Yisrael as a Naira Murasa. So he was wondering, I don't understand, how do we know in all those other cases where we're applying the din of Skila to all of these other things that we're about to read in the Mishnah, what right do we have to apply Skila to them? There's only four cases that specifically say Skila. All the other cases, if you would answer me that they're being learned from the word Mot Yumat and not from the Mehem Bam, then I'm scratching my head. Why would we learn them from Oven Yedoni? Why wouldn't we go and learn them from Eshet Ish? That's exactly my point. And that's the point. Iba Mot Yumat Kamri. So instead of learning from Oven Yedoni, let's actually learn it from Eshet Ish. That was the whole issue. And therefore, Abaye set my mind at ease, Rabbi Zera would say, in explaining that obviously the limud was from the Mehem Bam, not because I need to answer your question and say, well, I guess that's the point, but because that's the only one that makes sense that it would be the Mehem Bam, because the other Mot Yumat we actually learn things from. And now, a word from our sponsor. This is a sponsor from the Talisker Rebbe, one of the most smoky and delicious whiskeys that you will ever have, as our sponsor is ready to tell us. Speak to us, oh great Talisker.
Any financial or any payments that I must make for this gratuitous.
All right. Go ahead. Give it to it. And so the following are the cases of the Niskalim. Okay, so this has been the Seder. We discussed the procedure, the judicial procedure. Then we discussed the Arba Nisais, with each one of them describing the way in which we would carry out those Nisais. And now we get to the list, starting from the top. What are included under each one of these Arba Nisais? So let's go back to the beginning. The one that we spoke about first in order was the Niskalim. Who is included in the dinim of the Niskalim? So remember, we only had the four cases that were mentioned beferish Niskalim, but we know that there's a lot of additional Niskalim that are all learned from Ov and Yidoni and the Dmeim Bam. So here's the full list. Haba al Ha'ems. First of all, we have a lot of the Arayot. So, sleeping with one's mother or one's father's wife, even if it's not your mother, or with a daughter-in-law, a kala, or with a zakur, with a male, or alabeima, with an animal, or a woman who gets an animal to sleep with her, hamevia et habeima, hamegadef. What about other cases? Then we have our cases that have to do with Avodah Zarah. So a Megadev is someone who is Mevorech as Hashem. Ha'oved Avodat Kochavim. Ha'notein Mizaro LaMolech. This is going according to the Maan D'Omer that Molech is not an Avodah Zarah, and it's therefore not part of Oved Avodat Kochavim. It's a type of generalized religion style thing that you do, but there is no particular idol that's called Molech that you're offering to, and that it consists therefore of a separate iser than Aoved Avodat Kochavim. Ubal Ov Yedoni, and these are things, the details we'll see later on, these are weird practices of communicating with the dead. They didn't use crystal balls and banging under the table and all kinds of other nonsense. They had their own nonsenses. So we'll see what these are, how it is that these are done. Hamechalel et haShabbat, then moving out of the Avodah Zarah. So first we had the Arayas, then we have the Avodah Zarah, and then we have the general things like Mechalel et haShabbat, Hamechalel Aviv v'Imo, which is more chomer than Makeh Aviv v'Imo, which we saw was very kal. So this was the special case that we had, which is not included in the general Eshes Ish. And this is the special case of Nara Hamurasa, Hamesit, somebody who seduces another individual to do Avodah Zarah, Hamediach, someone who does that to a city, Hamechashev, someone who does sorcery, and the Ben Sorer Umore. So that's the Yud Ches, the 18 Chiyuve Skila. Now, let's go into them separately. Habala Aim. Now, if somebody sleeps with his own mother, and that mother was married to his father, so that they actually were married when he conceived her with her, him with her, so then he would be chayav for two things. It's his mother, and it's also his father's wife. As a matter of fact, she didn't have to be his mother and father's wife at the time that she became his mother. She could have become his father's wife this very morning and not been his father's wife. Maybe they had just slept together and conceived him. And now, you know, 20 years later, they decide we might as well go and get married. So if that happens, there would still be two separate chiyuvim. It's his mother that he's sleeping with now and his father's wife. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, you will not be chayev for sleeping with a mother who is also a father's wife twice. You will only be chayev once. And we'll see what the reasoning is for that. And remember, being a chayev a person twice is very nogea, because if he didn't know that it was his mother, or didn't know it was Osir to sleep with his mother, then he would be chayev to bring a korban chatas on an Isser Kores, right? So how many chataot would he have to bring? If it's a mother who is also a father's wife, you would have to bring two separate chataot for the two separate isurim, according to the Tanakhama. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, we don't know why yet, but according to Rabbi Yehuda, he would only be chayiv once. Haba al eshet av, what about if he sleeps with his father's wife, who is not his mother? Well, then he would be chayiv both for sleeping with a father's wife and for the normal chiyav of an eshet ish, if they're still married at the time that he sleeps with her, because she's also eshet re'ehu, bein b'chaye aviv. Now, the part of the iser of eshet av, even if they got divorced, now she's not an eshet ish, but she remains, even if the father dies, she remains his father's wife, in terms of the Isser Erva of sleeping with a father's wife. And we're going to go into the details of the psukim that teach us all of these things later. But there you would be chayev, bein b'chaye aviv, bein la'achar mitat aviv. Obviously, not on the eshet ish part, because they're not married, but on the part of his fact that at one time she was his father's wife. It doesn't matter what her status is now in terms of that. Neither does it matter whether the father had actually taken her to the chuppah or he had just given her kiddushin. Haba al kalato, if he sleeps with his daughter-in-law. There's also two separate chiyuvim. One, assuming that she's still married to his son, it would be because of kalato, and bishum eshet ish. Now, the kalato part would be true even if his son was no longer alive. Obviously, the eshet ish part wouldn't be, but once she was married to his son, then bein b'chaye b'no, bein li'achar mitat b'no, it makes no difference, nor does it make a difference whether the son had taken her to the chuppah or had simply given her kiddushin. It still has a din of ishut, and that is a permanent erva. Now, in our Mishnah, we learned that according to Rabbi Yehuda, you never would be chayev two separate chataot for sleeping with a mother who is also your father's wife. Now, there's a braita that has a very different version of what Rabbi Yehuda said. In this version, which is the braita, Rabbi Yehuda said something quite different. What he said was, is that if this woman was not allowed to be married to your father, then you would only be chayev because she's your mother. So let's see what that means. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, im lo hayta imo ru'uya la'aviv, if it was not a kosher marriage, then eino chayev ela mishum ha'ein bilvad. So what does he mean, not a kosher marriage? I mean, if we're talking about that the mother was an iser erva to his father, meaning either there was an iser karet, or she was one of the chayev misas bezdin. Excuse me, but the Rabbanan would agree to that 100%. I mean, why are you saying this is Rabbi Yehuda arguing? We know that if a woman is asura on a person because of an iser karet, then the marriage is meaningless. There is no marriage. Kedushin are not tofsim on Isurei Koret, and certainly not on Isurei Misa. So what are you telling me, Rabbi Yehuda says, well, if she wasn't Ruya, and the Chachomim would disagree with that? Obviously, everybody holds that. Are you trying to tell me, Michlal de Rabbanan Tzavrei, Avagav de Ina Ruyalo? How could the Rabbanan say that the meaning of Eshet Avicha in the Torah is someone, Halet LeKiddushin Begava, someone who doesn't have Kiddushin with your father? So how the heck could she be Eshet Avicha? That's ridiculous. So therefore, according to this braita, what Rabbi Yehuda must be saying is, I argue on what the Chachamim say, and I say that even if she's inappropriate for you, meaning that she's, let's say, she's a mamzeret, she's a chayvei lavim, she's a grusha to a kohen, whatever, I hold that even if it's just chayvei lavim, I hold like Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Yehuda suffer like Rabbi Akiva. According to Rabbi Akiva, ein kiddushin tofsim even b'chayve lavim. So according to Rabbi Akiva, he learns from the posik that even if there's only an iser lav, Kiddushin is not chal, and therefore she is not, legally, your father's wife. So she'd only be your mother's. According to this approach in Rav Yehuda, there is no general rule that you could not be chayev two separate chata'ot for sleeping with one woman who is both your mother and your father's wife. There's no such rule. We're only pointing out, according to Rav Yehuda, that a woman who is inappropriate because of a lav is not considered to be married to your father, and therefore she's only your mother, and she's not your father's wife. Masiv Rav Hoshaya. So Rav Hoshaya points out that the Mishnah in Yevamos makes it clear that this can't be what Rav Yehuda holds. Because take a look at the Mishnah. Isur mitzvah v'isur kedusha. Chotzot v'lo mityabmot. So in a case where you have an Isser, which is based on a lav. We'll see exactly the meaning of Isser Mitzvah, Isser Kedusha in a moment, but it's a lav, right? And in that case, we will only do Chalitza if the brother cannot be Miyabim because of the fact that she is Asura to the brother because of an Isser lav. So he would not be able to be Miyabim. He would only do Chalitza. Why can't he not do Yibum? Since Yibum is a mitzvah saseh, and if he, let's say, is a kosher kohen, and the brother wasn't a kosher kohen, now he's going to go and marry the gerusha that his brother was married to. He can't do that. Why not? Yavo mitzvah taseh, v'yitcha mitzvah lo taseh. So why can't he go and marry this woman? And the answer to that we already saw before. Gzeira, where gozer not to do Yibam Biyarishona, even though technically speaking, yes, you would have a mitzvah in sleeping with this woman for the purposes of Yibam. But since you're going to end up keeping her, the next time you sleep with her, you're going to be over. We don't trust you to just do this once for the mitzvah of Yibum, and then you'll give her a get. So because of that, we said only do Chalitza and don't do Yibum in such cases. Now, what did we mean? So far, this has nothing to do with our discussion of Rabbi Yehuda, but it soon gets more complicated. Because, look, what exactly is meant by the words Isser Mitzvah and Isser Kedusha? So we explain. Isser Mitzvah means the Isurim of the Arayos that are called Shniot La'Arayot. Remember, we went through in Yevamos all of the secondary Arayot, meaning the Rabbanan oftentimes added an additional one generation to an Erva, and they made it one more generation, Midrabbanan, that you would not be allowed to take in this cases, right? So there's many cases like that. It's possible to find a case where a kosher woman, Midiraisa, would fall to Yibam, but the Rabbanan say she's not kosher. Fine. So that's why do we call that an Isser Mitzvah? Because it's a mitzvah lishmoa divrei chachamim. You don't want to be over on the mitzvah of listening to what the chachamim were gozer. What's an Isser Kedusha? Well, almanado kohen gadol, grusha v'chalutza l'kohen idiot. Why do we call it an Isser Kedusha? Because Benogeya, the Isurim, that were added to the Kohanim in marriage, it uses the word Kedoshim, Yiyu, LaElohehem. So, okay, so that's part of Kedusha. Anyway, so far so good. Here's where the problem crops up. There's a Braita that says that Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. And Rabbi Yehuda says, actually, I say you need to reverse those definitions. So, the Isser that is on the Kohen, that is called Isser Mitzvah, because the parsha begins with Ela HaMitzvot. Masha Inkin, the other Arayot, which are also Min Rabbanan, that is called Isser Kedusha, because it says, Kadesh Atzmecha B'mutar Lecha, a person is supposed to add Kedusha on himself. So when the Rabbanan add Kedusha, so that's considered to be the Shniyos L'Arayot. Okay, but this is just a nomenclature issue, right? As far as the halacha is concerned, it's clear that Reb Yehuda agrees with the halacha. He's just saying, I disagree with the way you're explaining the terminology. But how could Reb Yehuda agree with the halacha, for heaven's sakes? If according to Reb Yehuda, Yitzhak Adaitach Reb Yehuda, Reb Akiva Svirale, then the whole thing falls apart. Because, look, Michte, Chayve Lavan Reb Akiva, according to Reb Akiva, Chayve Lavan are exactly like Chayve Krisis. There's no Chalos Kedusha. And if a Chiyav Kores falls to the brother for Yibum, there's no Chiyav of Yibum whatsoever. That was the whole first part of Yevomus that taught us that. And according to Rabbi Akiva, there would be no chiyuv of Yibum whatsoever. So what are we talking about? Do chalitza? What chalitza? What are you talking about? There is no chalitza. There's no din of Yibum. So obviously, Rabbi Yehuda does not hold like Rabbi Akiva, because otherwise he would never have said that a Isser mitzvah or an Isser chalitza, including Isserei Lavim, he would never say there should be chol tzivolo misyabim. There's no chalitza. So what are you giving me this business for? That Rabbi Yehuda holds like Rabbi Akiva. Oh, come on. I mean, he's only arguing about terminology over it. It's a semantic argument. In terms of the din, did he ever say, I agree with you? I disagree, Bichlal. I think it's ridiculous. There's no chiyav of Yibum whatsoever on any of this Isser D'Oraisa of a lav. That's impossible. However, you don't agree with me. Okay, don't agree with me, but at least speak correctly. Your terminology is wrong. Here's how I understand what you were saying, the Rabbanu were saying, and I disagree with the din. I'm just explaining what they're referring to. So Rabbi Yehuda was only Lidvar of the Tanakama Kama, Velelo Sfirale. He was trying to explain the Tanakama, but he never said he agreed. Anyway, Kiyotze Rabbi Yitzchak, the way that the Mishnah had Rabbi Yehuda had nothing to do with this, right? It had nothing to do with the difference of holding like Rabbi Akiva, we're talking about Chavi Lavim. It was a general rule in the Mishnah, sort of magical, but for some reason, if a woman is both your mother and your father's wife, you will only be chayev one chatas for a mother, and you will not be chayev a chatas for sleeping with your father's wife. Now, there is, in fact, a braisa that Rabbi Yitzchak came along and it taught us that says it exactly like that way. Of course, it doesn't make any sense, but we'll look into it and try to figure out where Rabbi Yehuda would come up with a din like that. So Kiyosa Rabbi Yitzchak, he had a braisa that said it like we learned it. Tani kidit not. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, straight out. Eino chayav ela mishum ha'ein bilvad. You're only going to be chayiv, even though there's two separate isurim, one. Wait, so how would that be? The time of my, I mean, what possible reason is there to say that? Well, look, let's understand what's happening over here. The first thing is, you need to know that this is quite involved a drasha, and it takes drashas both from the psukim and achrimot, and the psukim in Kedoshim. And therefore, we need to be aware of our psukim, and then we will have a much easier job understanding the Gemara here. So let's first take a look at the psukim that we have. We have two psukim in Achrimos, one after the other. So the first pasuk says, if you get your chumash, it may stick better in your mind. The source is Perek Yud Ches, and it's Pasuk Zayin and Pasuk Ches. Now, if you traveled without your chumash or without your boost, then there are things to do in emergencies. I think actually Akiva is directly above Gavi, and maybe he can save him there, at least with the boost. I don't know if you have an extra chumash. So let's take a look at the two psukim. There we go. Let's take a look at the two psukim in Achrimos. Ervat avicha ve'ervat imecha lo tegale. Now, it's not clear what that means. On the surface, it seems to be saying, don't sleep with your father and don't sleep with your mother. And then it says, imcha hi, look, she's your mother, damn it, lo tegale ervata. Now, the question is that a different thing? Is that what's it adding? So if it would say ervat avicha ve'ervat imcha, if Ervat Avicha actually would mean Ervat Avicha is not literally not to sodomize your father, it's not to sleep with your father's wife. That's possible, and we're going to see why we think it's possible. But if that's what it means, so then it would be talking about two different issues here. Ervat Avicha, meaning don't sleep with your father's wife, whether she is your mother or she's not your mother. And in the event that she's not your father's wife and she's just your mother, well then, imchahi, lo tegale ervata. That's one way of understanding the pasuk. But then we'd have to ask, well, so what does it add by saying she's your mother? Obviously, if you're sleeping with your mother, she's your mother. Ah, that turns out to be the initial thought that we have in understanding Rabbi Yehuda. Since it says, but she's your mother, it's stressing, and that's all she is. She is your mother. Forget about the fact that she's your father's wife. In other words, you'll only be chayev because she's your mother. This was our first take on the pasuk. We'll see that it's much more complex than that, but in the end, we're going to come back to understanding it that way. The next pasuk says, Ervat eshet avicha lo tegale, ervat avichahu. Now this is strange, because now it's calling the wife of your father, the nakedness of your father, which seems to be defining the pasuk right before, that the ervat avicha is not your father, it's really your father's wife. So then, I mean, what is it adding if the first one meant ervat avicha? All needs to be understood. Now, let's take a look in Kedoshim.
Because it's recorded that it's ervat avicha he.
What did I say? Okay. Yes. It would rather be difficult for her to be a he, but okay. In these days, you never know. So now, let's move on to, thank you. Let's move on to Parshas Kedoshim and taking a look at Perek Chof, Posuk Yud Aleph, V'ish Asher Yishkav et Eshet Aviv. Someone sleeps with his father's wife. That is his father's nakedness. Oh my gosh. Ervat aviv gila. So now it's telling you sort of straight out that the meaning of ervat aviv is eshet aviv. Mot yumtu shneihem dmeihem bam. So here's one of our examples of the dmeihem bam together with the mot yumtu with no definition. So let's keep these three psukim in mind because we're going to need to understand all of them to be clear about what's happening over here. So Abaya says, you know, that pasuk of ervat avicha ve'ervat imcha lo tegale imchahi. What is that imchahi supposed to add if it just said ervat imcha? That's meaning what Rabbi Yehuda is basing his halacha on. Only mishum imo ata mechayvo v'i ata mechayvo mishum eshet av. That's the whole point. If she's both, then she can only be mechayev you achatas because she's your mother. And then, wait a minute over here. So then, how do you explain the next pasuk? The next pasuk does exactly the same thing. It repeats the same woman, and it says he. Here it says, ervat imcha lo tegale imchahi. And the next pasuk says, ervat eshet avicha lo tegale ervat avicha he. It says exactly the same thing. Now, if you tell me that whenever we mention the name of the erva and we say he at the end, it means you're only going to be chayev one and not the other, you're going to end up with a rather strange situation. Because then the next pasuk is telling you the opposite of what this pasuk is telling you. The next pasuk is telling you that if a woman is both your father's wife and your mother, you're only going to be chayev because she is Eshet Av, because it says Eshet Av, he, Eshet Avicha, he. So that comes to tell me, Mishum Eshet Av Ata Mechayvo, V'i Ata Mechayvo, Mishum Imo. So we end up with the pasuk saying that if she's both your mother and your father's wife, then you're not Chayev at all, because you can't be Chayev because of Imo, since it says Eshet Avicha, he. You can't be Chayev Mishum Eshet Aviv, because it says Imcha, he. So, you're not b'chayvim for anything. Go right ahead. What is that supposed to mean? if one or the other is usher, obviously if she's both, the Torah can't be saying she's mutter. Let's see that inside. If you're going to say that, so then if she were an aim who was also an eshetav, so then one pasuk crosses out the chiyuv of the aim, the other pasuk koyhacha memayetak crosses out the chiyuv of the eshetav. So now, does that make any sense? I mean, it's a little bit ridiculous, isn't it? If a mother who is not an eshet av, you're chayavan. And an eshet av who's not a mother, you're chayavan. But if you put them both together, and she's both an aim and also eshet aviv, then you're not mechayavim at all. Come on, man. Not to mention the fact that if you're going to tell me that the word he, imcha he, is there to exclude the iser of the eshet av, so then according to the Rabbanan, they disagree with Rabbi Yehuda, and they say you'd be chayev for both. So we'd have to explain, and we have a very ready explanation, how did they explain the pasuk of imcha hi? Why do they disagree with Rabbi Yehuda about imcha hi? Well, we're going to see later on that imcha hi is a critically important pasuk because Rav Shisha, Rei de Rav Idi, explains that it is the marker of the onesh for aim. Well, we'll get to that soon. So then, if you're going to say that, Rabbi Yehuda would need the same pasuk for the same reason. So Rabbi Yehuda nami, ahumi boile, liker Rav Shisha bereide Rav Idi. So we don't have an extra pasuk of imcha hi. So, I mean, if anything, we'd be stuck with the opposite, that you'd only be chayav for eshet av and not be chayav for aim. Something is screwy. Ella, Omer, Avach, Breder, Vika, Omer, Kra. Look, I got another idea. Maybe the basis of the pasuk is the fact that it says, Lo tegale ervata. Ervata means her nakedness. But there's two nakednesses here, aren't there? There's one of a mother and one of a father's wife. So since it uses the Loshon Yachid, it must be teaching me, Mishum erva achata tamechayvo. Reb Yehuda holds, you can only be mechayev a person for one erva, v'iyata mechayvo, mishum shte ervot. Because of that, he would not, if it's both his mother and it's eshet aviv, so then we're not going to be mechayev him, not because it says imchahi, but rather, if it's saying ervata, and it's talking about the aim, so it must mean only on ervata and not on the ervat eshet avicha. But, I mean, if that's the case, when the Torah says, ervat kalatcha lo tegale, eshet bincha hi lo tegale ervata, it uses a lashon yachid on your son's wife. So that should mean that if your son's wife is currently married to your son, then you should only be chayev one, not for eshet ish and for your son's wife, because you'd have to use ervata in the same way. So, achinami mishum erva achatata mechayvo, is that what you're going to tell me? Iata mechayvo mishum shte ervot? The Mishnah says beferish, not like that, and Rabbi Yehuda doesn't argue. Vatzan abba kalato, chayev olam both mishum kalato, and mishum eshet ish, bein bechaye beno, bein la'achar, mitat beno. And Rabbi Yehuda doesn't say anything against that. Lo polik Rabbi Yehuda. So therefore, what are you going to tell me? That the word ervata doesn't refer to the technicalities. It refers to a single human body, which is one thing, okay? So kiva dechad gufay. It doesn't matter that there's two isurim. You don't call each isur a separate nakedness, for heaven's sakes. There's one erva. That erva is also for two things, but it's still ervata. So then if you understand that's why k'tiv ervata, so then that's true also about the case of the ervat imcha and the idea of the eshata, falchanami kivin dechad gufa. Yeah, I mean, look, it's one individual. So I forgot to trace Suri. Very nice that there's two isurim. Makes perfectly sense to call that ervata. So that is not the mocker for Rabbi Yehuda. Okay. Says Rava, I'll tell you. Ella Amar Rava, look. Remember what we said before? We took the first pasuk. Yes, yes, yes. It was simplistic. I'm going to explain to you why it was right all along. You didn't have enough information at that stage to understand why it's right. Let's go back to what Abaya said before. It says, Imcha hi. Imcha hi means that you're only going to be chayav for your mom and not for the fact that she is also your father's wife. So what was your problem with that? Your problem was that we have exactly the same situation in the next pasuk that talks about eshet avicha, right? Okay, I'm going to explain to you why that is not a meaningful question. And you did not have enough information. When you hear my explanation, you'll see that all of your questions fall apart. The truth is that Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan argue about what the meaning of Erva Savicha is. Does Erva Savicha mean not to sleep with your father? Or does Erva Savicha mean not to sleep with your father's wife? That's the question. Now, Rabbi Yehuda holds there is no isser of sleeping with your father other than the general isser of sleeping with a male. And when it says Ervat Avicha, it's a reference to your father's wife. And we're going to see that he learns this out of the Gzeirah Shava, which we're going to see later comes from Kedoshim, where over there it says very clearly that Ervat Avicha hi is a reference to Ervat Eshet Avicha lo tegaleh. It's because this is Ervat Avicha. So there the Torah makes it very clear. Okay, but we'll see that later. But he knows that from the Gzeirah Shava that we'll talk about. And therefore, when you open up that pasuk and it says, Ervat Avicha lo tegaleh, what does that teach you? It teaches you whether this father's wife is your mother, when she's not your mother, it makes no difference. I'm giving you a general love. Don't sleep with your father's wife, whatever other relationship is involved. So, mashma bein eshet aviv she'imo, bein eshet aviv she'ina imo, it's all usher. Now, how do I know that, how about if she is not your mother's, your mother is not your father's wife at all? How about being chayiv on a mother who is not eshet aviv? Where does it say that? Well, it says that in the next words. Ervat avicha ve'ervat imecha lo tegaleh, right? So that teaches me that you can't sleep with your mother. Now, ask yourself, so then why does it repeat the words imcha hi? You just said imcha. Ah, that's coming to correct the misapprehension at the beginning of the pasuk that included any woman, whether she is your mother or not your mother, who is your father's wife, that you would be chayev because of your father's wife. Now comes along the pasuk to say, now wait a minute, that's not true. If she is your mother, then you would only be chayev on imcha hi, mishum imo atam mechayvo, but I atam mechayvo mishum eshet aviv, she would not be considered to be the Eshet Aviv. That's the point. So in other words, we're taking a look at this pasuk in steps. First of all, it says, Ervat Avicha. Okay, that means whether she is your mother, she's not your mother. That's what we think. By the time we get to the end of the pasuk, we find out that that's wrong. But that's what we think. Then it says, Ervat Imcha. Okay, that tells me, even if this woman is not your father's wife at all, never was your father's wife, but she is your mother. So that is a separate iser. And then when it says, imcha hi, that's going back to limit the first part of the pasuk. And it's saying, if she is your mother, then this is the only part that is going to be machai of you because of aim. And don't think that when I said ervat avicha, I meant to include her. I don't include her. I view her as being just your mother and ignore entirely the fact that she was married to your father, because that is not an issue. So now there's no problem, because since the way we understand Rav Yehuda at this point, now that Rava has opened up our mind to the broader issues over here, since this pasuk, the opening pasuk of Ervas Avicha, was not referring to sleeping with a father, it was referring to sleeping with a father's wife. So then it's understandable that the end of the pasuk would need to define that properly. And it does by adding imcha hi for you to understand what was meant by the pasuk's opening ervat avicha. So it's all one clear-cut limud. But the next pasuk, which you were asking, well, that says the same thing, Ervat Avicha Hi, and that would be coming to limit it to only Ervat Avicha and not Imcha. Not Imcha. Imcha. Well, what are you talking about? There was no mention of Imcha in that second pasuk. The only way we understood the He as being a limitation was if it's a limitation on something that was mentioned. If it wasn't even mentioned, it's only the first pasuk that talks about both a father's wife, because Ervat Avicha, according to Rabbi Yehuda, means a father's wife, and a mother. So if there's two things, I need to be memayated to make sure that you don't make the mistake that you'd be chayev on both together, you see? In the next pasuk, how in the world would he supposed to mean that not your mother? It's talking about your mother. Maybe it means not a monkey. Why is it a ridiculous thing to ask Rabbi Yehuda? That he can't mean that. It's got to mean something else because we weren't even talking about a mother. Which means that the kasha that we had, that, well, what are the Rabbanan going to do with it? Oh, they must use Imcha Hi to tell me the other drasha. What? There's no question on what the Rabbanan are going to do with it. The Rabbanan don't have to do anything with it because they hold that Ervat Avicha means don't sleep with your father. In which case, according to them, it never discussed in that pasuk anything about a father's wife. So the Imcha Hi couldn't be coming to say it's only your mother and not your father's wife. So what is it? They have to explain it totally differently. But they're not going to be bothered by the fact that it says Imcha Hi, you see, because it can't mean what Rabbi Yehuda claims it means. Therefore, according to Rabbi Yehuda, he's the only one that we have to give this explanation for. And in fact, we're going to see tomorrow that we have a braita that spells all of this out, but I need to allow you a little bit of time to go over it, because maybe it was a bit complicated, so therefore we won't do the next stuff now. We give you a night, of course, the night is only for review, but we give you the night to review this 40 times, so that when we come tomorrow morning, Bezrat Hashem, we'll be able to see the braita. Okay, everyone, wishing you Hinei El Yeshua Siyef Tach V'lo Avchad, a wonderful Mitzvah Shabbos and a wonderful week in which we will be Zeicha to see Nikmat Hashem on Oive Yisrael and a restoration of Tveit Yisrael and Nikmat Dam Avodav Ashafuch, Kol Tuv and Shavua Tov.